It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up? Welcome to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, joined at the hip, as always, by my awesome co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Best ball season is back, baby. We are partnered with Underdog. We are rocking three streams a week, breaking down how to attack these drafts, stacks, values. I want you to head over to FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, and FTNBets.com. Get signed up, get subbed, get drafting on Underdog Fantasy today. We are going to be doing these streams three times a week. You've got to be tuning in and getting ready. Deposit today. On today's show, we are going to be rocking a live mock draft. Two quarterback, no defense, no kickers. Start three wide receivers, two running backs, 14 total rounds, so five bench players. Adam, what is up, my dude?
D-Bro, having a nice week here so far already. I get to do another live mock with some people from Twitter, which is always fun. And we're every day now we're seeing incredible clips from training camp, which, you know, you can take them for value if you want, but at this point, I mean, I'll take any 5-yard completion against nobody. That just makes me realize that football is right around the corner, so I'm feeling good, and I'm excited to draft Josh Allen with the 10th overall pick, or the whatever I pick, 9th overall pick.
Dude, I'm ready for this, man. I feel like what we have been waiting for all offseason is coming to fruition. Training camps are open. Pads are on. Teams are rocking it. Now, we do see injuries kind of like slowly making their way through training camps, so that kind of sucks. But, man, we are here, dude. What we have hoped for the entire offseason is here. I think we're going to see 0 to 80. People are going to all of a sudden wake up and say, holy crap, there really is an NFL season. I haven't done any prep. What do I do, man? And that's why we wanted to sit here and do a mock draft today, get you caught up, get you set up, especially those people that are attacking super flex leagues and two quarterback leagues. So I know we're about to jump into this draft. Anything you want to hit off the top here, Adam, as far as strategy-wise before we jump into this mock draft?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like you said, this is a 2QB league, and you have five bench spots, so you're obviously going to want at least one quarterback on your bench, and you just kind of have to attack a little bit differently. But I don't steer too differently in two quarterback leagues, because I'm, you know, you can always feel great about having like a Mahomes or Prescott pairing if you go early, but I'm still more than comfortable, you know, getting, you know, two back-end quarterback ones and still having depth elsewhere. So starting the draft off, and Christian McCaffrey does still go with the 101, which I don't think is a surprise. We'll see when the first quarterback goes, though. By the way, you have the fifth pick, and I have the ninth pick.
Yeah, so really my whole strategy attacking Superflex, I think, like, we talked to Anthony Amico, you need to go back, listen to the quarterback primer. We talked about some Superflex strategy in that episode as well. I think that it's either you pay up and get the quarterbacks, or really my main strategy is I'm totally fine with waiting to, like, say, rounds 5 to 8 and address the quarterback position and usually double tap them somewhere in there. That's usually how I attack it, but I think every draft is different. Having a top 5 pick in this draft, I mean, you and I wanted to space out our picks, so I'm at the 105, you're at the 109. What are you looking at as far as picks for this round?
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but, like, I would have no problem taking a Mahomes or Lamar Jackson if they're there. I don't think they will be, but if one of those two make it there, and Patrick Mahomes goes third overall, so that probably isn't going to be happening. And Lamar Jackson goes right after him at the 104, so, yeah.
I shouldn't be surprised.
But right before you.
I'm kind of surprised a little bit. So, I mean, Alvin Kamara falling into my lap, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I heard that guy's good.
It was really either him or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was, if it went all running backs in the top four picks, that's where I was going to go. Dear God, I can't believe Zeke has actually dropped all the way to the 107 in this. And I get it, super flex, I mean, a two quarterback, but that's still crazy sauce to me.
Yeah, and Zeke does go off the board at 107.
There we go, as he should have.
Yeah, so now I'm kind of Kyler Murray.
Wow! Kyler goes in the first
that is
round.
That is shocking.
And we have preached all offseason, is Kyler Murray your quarterback three? Let's get that out of the way first.
Absolutely not. I talked about it. I have Dak ahead of him. I have Russell Wilson ahead of him, and I have Deshaun Watson over him. So
yeah, he's QB five for me, maybe QB six, just depending.
It's safe to say I don't agree with the pick, but if you look, people ask me all the time, when should I take this guy? If you like a guy and you don't think you can get him on the come around, take him. But you know, I don't think the holdout thing is a concern really anymore for Dalvin Cook. So at the 109, I'm going to take Dalvin Cook, and you know, get a potential top five running back, and we'll see what happens on the back end. But yeah, I was really surprised to see Kyler go at the 108 right there.
So what I think needs to get thrown out here too is that depending on what type of league you're playing in and who you're playing against, and especially considering, like I'm talking about, I'm totally fine with having three quarterbacks and really just streaming the position or rocking like matchups per week and things of that nature. And you will see, if you're comfortable in doing that, you're going to see positional player values fall to you because, like we're talking about, three quarterbacks going in the first round, guys are going to fall because of that.
Yeah. So the first round ends with me taking Dalvin Cook, followed by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Derrick Henry, and Davante Adams at the 112. Ryan, who's in the 12th spot, took Adams and followed it up with Josh Jacobs. Joe Mixon goes, and I am on deck here. We'll see what – and Miles Sanders. So yeah, this is when you usually see these running backs fly off the board. So I'm here. I'm at the 204, and I have a lot of ways I could go here. I could, you know, this is a three receiver league. So there's Julio Jones is there, Tyreek Hill's there, Travis Kelce's also still there, and then you have the obviously quarterback aspect. I'm probably not going to take quarterback here yet. If I didn't get Lamar or Mahomes, I'm like you said, I'm fine waiting in that round five to eight range. So I'm going to take the best receiver in the NFL and take Julio Jones. And, you know, if this is a two-receiver league, I might take Nick Chubb. Hopefully he's fine with that concussion, by the way. But I'm going to take Julio Jones here and get my wide receiver three in fantasy as my wide receiver one on the team and start with Dalvin Cook and Julio.
Yeah, I like that start for sure. All right.
There goes Nick Chubb. Kenyon Drake at 2.206.
God, Kenyon Drake falling all the way to the middle of the second round. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and Brock. And Brock's actually one of my friends in real life, so cool that he
just
joined.
Started Zeke at the 107 and Kenyon Drake. That is the awesome sauce start right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So considering the running backs that are left on the board here, I'm actually going to lean towards wide receiver in this pick. And really, so we've had, what, three receivers go off the board. Yep. I'm actually going to go – I'm gonna take Tyreek Hill here.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going. I like that start, too.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill, two guys that are usually – I mean, Alvin Kamara falling to pick five is not absolutely crazy. But Tyreek Hill is usually a player that I couldn't pass him up at this point. He's usually a player that you'll see go near the turn, if not towards the top of the second round.
Yeah, he's always a guy at the turn. So getting him at 208, obviously, you know, the quarterbacks impact the draft position for him. But, yeah, I was debating Tyreek Hill, but I'm just so much a Julio Jones fan. And, you know, they both have massive upside. I think Julio's floor is just so, like, you're getting, you know, as many yards as pretty much. You're getting 1,300 yards. You're getting,
as long as he's healthy, he's a top seven receiver, period. He's exactly. Pretty much – he's the safest pick I think you could possibly make in the first two rounds. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, and people think he's injury-prone. Like, he had some injuries in the past, but he doesn't miss games. He comes off hobbling at times, but he goes back in. Like, that's 95% of the NFL. Like, guys get hurt, come back in, and are fine. So, yeah, the Julio Jones injury situation or whatever is so overblown. Dak Prescott goes at the 211, so – Taylor starts with Barkley and then takes his first quarterback with Dak as we go towards the beginning of the third round here. You're up at the 305. Are you still – is quarterback not even going to be on your radar, or does it depend?
It's not even in my thought process right now. I mean, to be honest, like,
yeah,
you still have so many amazing receivers. And this – like we're talking about – there goes Travis Kelce. I was staring him down.
McCaffrey and Kelce, you get the two best players at their position, arguably. That's a pretty nice start.
Yep, that's a pretty fantastic start for Nictorious FF and this pick for the 101. So no, I mean, even in this format, Jonathan Taylor at the 301
over. I mean, I guess the running backs around him, like, you can make the case he's better than all of them. There goes Deshaun Watson. I was thinking of maybe getting him, but Taylor made pairs Deshaun Watson with Dak, so, you know, quarterback shouldn't be on their radar for a while. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, the 301. I mean, every day you're seeing something on Twitter of him.
So what needs to get thrown out here is that even in this format, the running back thirst is real. The first two rounds, we've seen 15 running backs come off the board. So even in this format, and we're talking about we were surprised the quarterbacks went so early, in the first two rounds, running back is still a huge, huge get for people.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, we talked about the drop-off after really these guys that have been drafted. Like after the Miles Sanders, Eckler, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, there's, you know, I know you like David Johnson more than most, and we both like Chris Carson, but there's legitimate question marks with a lot of these guys. Leonard Fournette, will he be traded? Will he have a passing down role anywhere close to last year? Melvin Gordon, how will they use him? And Philip Lindsay, Chris Carson, you know, there's injury and fumble concerns as Fournette goes to the 303. Singletary's got goal line concerns. Le'Veon Bell has Adam Gase and offensive line concerns. Gurley, we know what his issue. I mean, he's already been talked about not even being 100%. That's terrifying. So there's legitimate concerns on all of these guys after, you know, the Jonathan Taylor, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones kind of tier, which is why you see so many running backs go in these first three rounds.
We're at running back 19 right now. I am actually going to push the button on David Johnson. I don't have a problem taking him here. I mean, the ability that I can get my two running backs, and I understand it start three wide receivers, but with all of the running backs that are being pushed up, with the quarterbacks that have been taken so far, I think that there's going to be some wide receivers that come in these next few rounds that I'm really going to be able to smash up in these upcoming rounds.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Godwin just went at the 306, followed by Russell Wilson at the 307,
yep.
And then Kittle at the 308 right before me. I was debating him. I'm at the 309, I'm on the clock, and I could go. I'm not going to go quarterback here. You know, the only quarterback I was considering if he was here was Deshaun Watson, and he's obviously gone. Man, there are a lot of good receivers there, but I can definitely get another one on the way back. The problem is these running backs, I don't love taking these guys in the third round, so I'm kind of stuck right now. I am going to go with another receiver here. And listen, if I'm taking them, you know, if I have them ranked ahead of these guys, I'm taking them, and I'm taking Adam Thielen at the 309. I don't think anybody's surprised. You know, I have him ahead.
I for one, I'm shocked, Adam. I am absolutely shocked at this point.
I have Kenny Galladay, Mike Evans, DJ Moore. These guys are all on the board, I believe. Yeah, they are. But I have them ahead of them all, so I'm going to take them. And look, I mean, I come back around in a couple picks. I'm still not going to be looking at quarterback, so I can solidify my receivers with another good one here. Then hopefully I can get a decent running back too down the road. But yeah, once with these five or six quarterbacks off the board, I just am going to wait, like you said, five, six, seven, eight rounds, round range, and try to pair a couple guys that have, you know, top 10 upside. Mike Evans and DJ Moore followed right after Adam Thielen, by the way. And it makes sense that these receivers are going because all the running backs went towards the back end of the second and first round. Josh Allen, 312.
DJ Moore just went as the wide receiver 8, so I don't hate that pick. I will say that, I mean, obviously it's somebody that loves him just as much as I do this year.
Yeah, do you hate that pick, though, the 4-1? It's not a bad pick, you're just not on Le'Veon.
I'm not on Le'Veon, man. Like, if that was the case, like, that's why I went ahead and grabbed David Johnson. I feel like he is the end of a tier for me. Considering where the drop-off is, I like David Montgomery, but I have a lot more questions on David Montgomery than I do on David Johnson as far as situation, offensive line, things of that nature. There was a teardrop, and if I didn't take David Johnson, the running backs that I would have been looking at coming back here was Melvin Gordon, David Montgomery. I will not draft Todd Gurley. I do not care. James Conner's hanging out there, which – James Conner's gotten a lot of love, and I understand it, but do you feel like when you log onto Twitter these days that everybody loves James Conner, but they also, like, yeah. The reflex right now is to love James Conner and to poo-poo David Johnson, and I really don't understand it because what's the difference? Like, what is the absolute difference in these two guys? Like, I don't get it.
I think the main difference is that James Conner is behind a really good offensive line, and what might, like, I think James Conner, we just know that Pittsburgh will use their running back one as, like, they like to use one running back, whereas so does Bill O'Brien, but we just don't know because we haven't seen David Johnson there yet. There's a little bit more, you know, question marks because we haven't seen him in this offense. James Conner does go at the 407. I was at the 404. I went Thielen right before that, so I went three straight receivers here, mainly because I'm not panicking on quarterback. Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz went right before me, but, you know.
Well, you're talking about, you also feel like there's a teardrop at running back, so what was the point of addressing it?
Right. And I looked, guys like Robert Woods, Allen Robinson, you know, some of these guys might have been there. I mean, Robert Woods and Allen Robinson went right after me, so not going to happen, obviously. But I took Kenny Galladay. I get the upside with the yardage and touchdowns. Adam Thielen and Julio are going to be really consistent catch guys. And then Galladay's my third wide receiver, and I'm loaded at receiver. Hopefully I won't be too much behind the eight ball at running back. I still have Dalvin Cook as my anchor, though. So
considering how deep wide receiver is, I actually just went with David Montgomery.
You took Montgomery. Damn it.
I just took Montgomery, and I'll say this. I understand it's start three wide receivers, but right now I have Tyreek Hill as my wide receiver one. The pool of wide receivers is ridiculously deep right now, Adam. I mean, look at this. Like, it's we still have Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp, OBJ, Ridley, Sutton, Diggs, Lockett. Like, all of these guys are still out here. There's still so many names, and I feel like, I mean, after what Montgomery, Melvin Gordon went right after him, who are the cemented starters that you're really looking at? Because, like I said, I'm not drafting Ty Gurley.
Yeah, he is a cemented starter, but there's obvious concerns there. Mark Ingram to start is probably the starter, but I don't envision that lasting too long, and I've already talked about my concerns with him. Like, if he comes around to me, I'll take him as my running back too and hope he gets those 12 to 15 carries a game, especially the goal line work. But yeah, he's not catching five touchdown passes again.
The drop off was massive. I mean, like, really, the only guys that you could possibly, like, think, like after me taking Montgomery, there was Melvin Gordon, but Devin Singletary, Todd Gurley, and Mark Ingram are really the only, like, viable, I feel like, RB2s. And people want to talk about, like, Ronald Jones as an RB2. I can't get on board with that, and I'm sure as heck not going that route in the fourth or fifth round. There's just no way in hell.
Yeah, looking back at it, I probably should have taken James Conner or Melvin Gordon at the 404. I just feel a lot better about, like, I just feel safer with those receivers I took than those running backs, honestly. I think Dalvin Cook, as long as he's not holding out, he's going to be just a staple for my team, and I don't have to worry about it. And then, you know, I'm hoping to get, like, Kareem Hunt, or, like, I'll take Singletary at this point, or one of these running backs up next. But yeah, I'm obviously at a disadvantage because there is such a big drop off at running back. And this is, again, getting to the point, we're starting the fifth round now. Calvin Ridley starts the fifth round coming off the board. This is the point where I'm starting to consider going quarterback.
I mean, this is kind of, with my team build that I have so far, I'm really loving a lot of the wide receivers that are dropping here, so I'm probably going to go wide receiver. Now, the sixth round, it kind of depends on who all is gone. Like, if we see a giant receiver run, which, honestly, I think is probably about to happen, because the two or three teams after me, like, the guy picking out of the 107 has one wide receiver right now, 108 only has one wide receiver. You've got three, but even if you look at the last three teams, 110 through 112 also only have one wide receiver. So I think after I probably pick a wide receiver here, you're going to see in the rest of this round, I think you're probably going to see one, two, probably like five wide receivers go off the board.
Yeah.
Four.
And that's honestly what I'm hoping for, so I can get one of these running backs. But yeah, I'm starting to regret taking Galladay, but this is why we mock. I mean, there's A.J. Brown's on the board, D.J. Chark's on the board, D.K. Metcalf's on the board, Diggs, Sutton, Hilton, so Keenan Allen. So I'm definitely not regretting, because I love the upside of Galladay, Thielen, and Julio, but I could have easily gotten another really good receiver as my wide receiver three. But again, this is why you mock draft. I don't hate my team, but I'm just clearly at a disadvantage at my running back two position. You're on deck here. You said that you're probably going to go receiver here. Who are you looking at here? If he's not picked
here? I'm looking at there's a tier break here. I mean, I am fine with taking. Wow. Okay. I can't believe that this guy. And this is what we talk about. We preach constantly here, Adam. If you look way down the list, there's a guy that is buried in ADP that nobody sees right now, and I'm about to take him. I'm taking Juju all the way in the fifth round.
Yeah, so we're drafting on Sleeper, and I don't know why he was so far down. Now I'm really regretting taking Kenny Golladay.
He was buried in the ADP, dude. Like, that is insane to me.
Yeah, that's nuts. We're in the fifth round.
I didn't want to throw it out there until after I already picked him.
Right. That's crazy, man. That is really odd that his ADP was that low. AJ Brown goes right before me at the 508, so I'm on the clock. You know what? There's concerns. You're going to hate me for this pick, but I need a running back. I need a guy that's going to be a starter. He's in a good offense.
Don't do it.
Todd Gurley.
Oh, you could take Todd Gurley. I thought you were going to take somebody else. I don't care about Gurley.
Who did you think I was taking?
I thought you were going to take my boy, which actually I'm looking for him all the way down this list.
Well, there goes Terry McLaurin. I forgot he was down. He's down on the ADP too for some reason. So
ADP is wonky on here. Good gosh, man.
Yeah,
it is crazy. Like, I was actually looking. Yeah, Devin Singletary is still there. If you keep scrolling down, like, look how high Darius Geis is still in ADP on Sleeper.
Right,
he's at 80. That's crazy.
If he makes it to me with this next pick, there is a really good. I mean, whoever between Singletary and Kareem Hunt are there is probably going to be my pick here. I understand both you and I. So there's how many teams without a quarterback so far? Me, you, the sixth overall pick, the first overall pick. That's it. Everybody else has a quarterback, at least one.
I'm not even considering quarterback, to be honest with you, in this next round.
I don't think I am either because. A handful of teams already have two. This is why you got to pay attention to what lineup construction is around you, because you know there's a handful of teams with two quarterbacks already. There's most of the teams already have one. There's a better than not chance that we can get our quarterbacks perfectly fine. Rodgers goes to the 601. I think that's not the greatest pick.
I would never take Rodgers there. No way.
There's no way I would take him over. Stafford over
Brady's still on the board. Yeah. Why take Rodgers when you could wait a few rounds and just take Minshew? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, and I've even been warming up to Jared Goff because I love Woods this year. I like Kupp a lot. The tight ends are going to be good, so Jared Goff should probably be at least, you know, more than serviceable by default. Ronald Jones, 602. So he goes ahead of Singletary, ahead of Mark Ingram, ahead of Kareem Hunt. Do you think that's where he right around should go? He's probably going to be a fifth-round pick by the end of the summer.
Oh, I think he's probably – like, I actually saw somebody put it out on Twitter that he's actually reached the fourth round in some, which is insanity to me. I think he settles in most drafts as a fifth-round pick, which is still crazy. Like, I'm not touching Ronald Jones in the fifth round. There's no way. Like, he would have to fall to the seventh round, which he will never fall that late for me to even – like, for him to even start begin to, like, enter my thinking at that point.
Singletary goes right before me, so that made my pick pretty easy. I'm going Kareem Hunt. Has nothing to do with the whatever Nick Chubb concussion. It's the fact that he's going to be a guy. He's my flex right now. Kareem Hunt is the perfect. In a PPR league, Kareem Hunt is the perfect flex. So, I'm really happy to get him at the 604. So, to make him my running back two or my flex. And as we know, if anything does happen to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt is probably better than every running back in fantasy, not named McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, and maybe Zeke. He might be better than Dalvin, honestly.
So I'm actually going to clown the sleeper ADP once again. I'm going to take Cam Akers here.
You're getting your boys here. Cam and DJ?
I just got Cam Akers at RB 20, 28, or 29 if my math is right here.
And where do you have him ranked?
He's inside my top 24, man. Yeah. Like, I'll take that all day. Yeah, especially absolutely. In this format. I mean, I've got four running backs. I've got Tyreek Hill and Juju, and the wide receivers are still insanely deep, man. Like, it's crazy how deep it is right now. I mean, Boyd, Gallup, even if you want to go the A.J. Green route, all of these guys.
Keenan Allen is You know, I'm lower on this year, but he's not going to be bad by any means, especially in the seventh round.
Devontae Parker is still out there. Like, many guys.
Two Texans receivers are out there.
Will Fuller's still out there. As my wide receiver three, there's not any guys on this board that I'm not – there's a tier here. And I'm totally fine with any of those guys as my wide receiver threes. And just considering, so I talked about the injury risk of David Johnson. Now I just backed up my running back room with David Montgomery and Cam Akers. So, one of these guys can be my flex. Plus, I have insurance if injuries or if things if I'm just totally wrong with Cam Akers, I've got two steady running backs out of those guys easily.
Yeah, I like your team a lot. I didn't realize how wonky the ADP was on Sleeper right now. I didn't even see Juju when I was looking at guys. Now, I wouldn't have taken him over Galladay. I have Galladay and Thielen ranked higher, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, Juju was way down there. A.J. Brown was even way down there. So we're closing on the end of the – Tom Brady goes at the end of the sixth round. That hurts. That does hurt. Nick Torius with the first pick. He has his first pick of the draft. He took Brady at the 6-12, and then he followed it with Stafford at the 7-1. I wanted to get one of them as my top quarterback.
And there goes Fuller.
Yeah, there goes Fuller. That hurts. So we're definitely, at a little bit of a disadvantage at quarterback because they are starting to fall here. Are you looking at a quarterback here, or are you still fine because nobody else should be taking quarterbacks other than me and you, really?
No, I mean, really, you look at – most of the teams have one and half the draft has two quarterbacks already. So, mm-hmm. Really, you're looking at a tier break. There's Baker, there's Jimmy –
Big Ben.
Still out there. Big Ben, Gardner. There's still a bunch of guys. I'm not even considering quarterback here, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Your boy Will Fuller gets picked, though. Were you looking at him?
Oh, yeah. He was probably going to be in there. He's in a tier. There's Tyler Boyd, Gallup, Parker, Will Fuller, your boy Marvin's still out there. I wouldn't have taken Marvin at this spot. I probably would have, if I would have grabbed him, I would have waited until he came back around, hopefully, in the eighth round.
I would love – Keenan Allen is still on the board, by the way.
Yep.
Whether you like him or not this year, I've talked about it a lot. A lot of people are talking about Tyrod at quarterback and how it could hurt Keenan Allen. Yeah, the pass attempts are going to be down as a whole from this team, and Tyrod – this is going to be the first time the Chargers have had a mobile quarterback in forever. But the thing about Tyrod is he doesn't force throws. And who's going to be – who has a better chance of getting separation on this team than Keenan Allen? Probably nobody. Maybe Eckler. So I think Keenan Allen is still going to be the top guy in this offense. I don't buy the Mike Williams thing because Tyrod is a good deep ball. I don't buy that. I'm not really on Hunter Henry, so I think Eckler and Keenan Allen are still going to be the focal points of this offense. So if you get Keenan Allen in the seventh round here, you're getting probably 85, 90 receptions.
I don't fault the Keenan Allen pick. I like him. I'm kind of tossed up about where I'm going to go because, like you're saying, Keenan Allen's here, Tyler Boyd, Gallup, Parker. It's a good tier of wide receivers. I'm probably going to go with a guy that I think that even on a bad, a lower offense, I think he's going to be their number one. I'm going to draft Parker here because I think the target mm-hmm. floor is just too ridiculously safe at wide receiver three.
Yeah. And we've seen Hollywood Brown goes right after. We've seen Devontae Parker drop in a lot of drafts. There's people worried about Preston Williams. And there goes Keenan Allen at the 707. I really like Embrock's squad, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a good squad. So drafting out of the 107, he went Zeke, Kenyon Drake, and he's got Russell Wilson, Woods, Chark, Ertz, Allen. It's a really, really good squad. Got some premium guys to fall to him. Good volume monsters. I was looking at DJ Chark, but I wasn't going to draft him over Juju, so.
Right. All right. I'm doing this because I think I am going to go quarterback here at the 709, mainly because I think at least one or two of the guys after me are going to take a quarterback because two of them need to take their second guy, so I want to make sure it's partly that. And I've yet to draft him, and I love him more than almost any player in the league over the last 10 years or so. I'm taking Cam Newton, baby.
Knew it.
I'm taking Cam. Let's go.
Good pick.
Let's go.
Good pick.
Another guy whose ADP is kind of low, so he was under guys like Haskins and Burrow and Bridgewater. By the way, Joe Burrow, another guy. I'm sure that's who you're targeting soon. But Cam, baby, let's go. I'm all in. I mentioned this. I hope that the Patriots win every game by 30 points and Cam has 500 yards and four touchdowns, except the 2 weeks they play Buffalo, because I love Cam that much. I cannot wait to see him show everybody that he's still a really, really good quarterback. And we already know he's going to run, so he's going to be... Whoa! Did you see the 7-10 right after Cam?
Well, first I want to talk about your Cam pick. Yeah. You just got him at QB16. Like, as long as Cam has a heartbeat, that has to be his absolute...
But Derek, what about Jared Stidham?
Oh, dear God in heaven. I can't even have that conversation with a straight face. I'll start laughing. The pod will go sideways. We might as well turn off the mics. But, dude, lean into this. Tell me how in God's green earth Antonio Gibson just went at the 7-10.
The hype is real.
Apparently.
Like, I'm sorry. Why him over Matt Breida? Why him over... I mean, Marlon Mack and those guys are kind of gross. But, I mean, James White. Like, we know James White's role in this offense. We don't know Antonio Gibson's. We've heard Ron Rivera say he's like Christian McCaffrey. We heard, like, this. He's never been a lead back in college or anything like that. Adrian Peterson is going to lead this team in carries. And if Adrian Peterson gets hurt, they're not going to say, all right, Antonio Gibson, 17 carries a game. They're all yours. I don't think he's a bad pick in fantasy. Like, he's obviously somebody that's going to be drafted in most redraft leagues, but the seventh round is far too high for me. I'm on deck. We all know where I'm going if he doesn't get picked right before me. Maybe. You know what? What do you think of AJ Green now? Because he tweaked his hamstring already, and I wasn't even practicing today, I believe. That scares me a little bit.
It's scary. I think at this point, like, he's in the eighth round. I think the injury risk that you're willing to absorb. Now, the curious thing is, him and Tyler Boyd are both on, are still yeah. in the draft pool. So
I'm struggling. I have AJ Green ranked higher than Marvin Jones. I have Marvin Jones ranked higher than Tyler Boyd. This is a tough pick, because if both guys play 16 games, AJ Green is most likely outscoring Marvin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm already worried, man. I know Marvin Jones has missed time over the last couple seasons. The running backs that are left, I mean, I don't really want any of these guys. Marlon Mack, Philip Lindsay, Sony Michel might not even start the season. Daryl Henderson, Matt Breida. Matt Breida's not terrible, but I just want Cam. Listen, I'd be a fraud if I didn't do it. And there he is.
Probably.
Marvin Jones is the obvious pick at 804. I took him over AJ Green. Might be stupid by some people, but...
What I will say is, you taking two Lions wide receivers and you don't have Stafford, and I know this is redraft, so, but pairing two wide receivers and not having the quarterback, how are you feeling about that?
I'm not Joe Burrow. That hurts. Goes right after.
Oh, that hurts me so much, man.
I'm not too worried, because Marvin Jones isn't going to be more than my flex on this team.
Dang it, that hurts.
So, now the one thing is that could concern is, you know, if we're playing this league out, the bye week could hurt, but. I just have to take Marvin Jones. I probably should have taken AJ Green, but yeah, the Joe Burrow pick at 805, I knew you were targeting him. There's still plenty of guys, I think, but I know Burrow is your guy, so.
That one definitely hurts. I will say that one smarts a good bit. So I'm actually going to go with Big Ben here. I'm going to take a quarterback. At this point in the draft, I compare him with Juju. Like we're talking about, I know this is not best ball, but still, I think that there is some edge to be had there. I like it. I would have leaned Tyler Boyd if he would have made it to me. He went a pick before me. I actually was considering Burrow, but I was looking at him possibly like round 9, round 10. So the fact that he went this early, I want to say it's a little bit surprising. I don't know how you feel about the pick.
The Burrow pick? I get it. I mean, it's a 2-quarterback league, obviously. Reeves took him, who took Kyler Murray at the 108, so this is his first quarterback taken since that pick. You know, and clearly shooting for upside with Burrow and Kyler Murray. So, like, you know, if you're drafting Burrow over Ben Roethlisberger, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Philip Rivers, like, I have no problem with any of those guys being drafted after Joe Burrow. But I like Big Ben. I think Big Ben is a guy. Like, Big Ben might be the quarterback outside the consensus top 12 that could slide into the top 10 pretty easily, because we've seen this team be pass heavy even with good defenses in the past. We know the weapons are there. I mean, Juju, Deontay Johnson emerged. They have a lot of guys that can go up and get touchdowns with Ebron and Chase Claypool. James Washington's a field stretcher. So I think Big Ben has the potential to be that guy drafted in that 14, 15, 16 range that could be, finish like quarterback 8, 9. AJ Green goes at the 8, 11. So I'm not going to lie. I probably should have taken AJ Green. But if like you don't go into a redraft league looking to stack. I took Marvin Jones there, obviously, because I love Marvin Jones this year, and I love him in fantasy. I also kind of overlooked the fact that I had Kenny Galladay, because I rarely draft Galladay, because I'm the type of person that will just wait and take Marvin Jones. But if there are offenses that you can load up on pass catchers from, it's the ones like Detroit, where we know where the production's going to, and we know that there's such a high percentage of their touchdowns come via the pass. So look at last year. I say it all the time. Before Stafford went down, these guys were like 1-2 in touchdown receptions in the NFL. So, but the ninth round starting off, Matt Breida goes to the 8-12, followed by Darren Waller at the 9-1. We don't have tight ends yet, but there's still plenty of good ones. You're coming up here in a couple picks. What are you looking at here? You got your quarterback in Ben. What are you looking at? Who are you targeting?
I mean, I'm looking at it's kind of like I was staring at quarterback a little bit, but I feel like there's a giant teardrop here. Maybe a quarterback, but I don't feel like the real need to do it. Looking at wide receivers, there's still a good number of guys on the board here I really, really like.
Tight end's pretty loaded, too. Not loaded, yeah, but there's plenty of guys.
Really, you get to this point in the draft, and I feel like there's a lot of different directions that you possibly can go, just depending on what you're going to do with your team. It's interesting. I'm curious what these next two picks look like. Because neither one of these teams, I'm wondering if we're about to see a giant tight end run
I think we're going to see three or four tight ends in this round. We already had one with Darren Waller. Let's see, the third pick of the ninth round. All right, Deebo Samuel. So, might not start the season on time, but there's upside if he makes it back. Captain Eddie's on the clock. He does not have a tight end yet. He has his two quarterbacks. I could easily see this being a tight end as well. Running back is somewhat of a question mark. They did just take Zach Moss, but this could easily be a tight end. So we'll see what happens. And it's Tevin Coleman. I kind of like that pick. I like getting Tevin Coleman that ninth round range. He's going to get work regardless, and if Mostert misses time. I know McKinnon's getting some buzz, but yeah, you're on the clock here, 9:05.
I feel like wide receiver is really kind of leveled off. Like, I don't feel the need to have to get somebody even starting because of where we're at the draft. I've got three wide receivers, three guys that I feel really good weekly at. I feel the same thing with quarterback. There's a bunch of guys that I like late. I'm just going to take another Loveless guy. I'm just going to go with it. Mike Gesicki.
There you go.
Take him here.
There you go. Gardner Minshew right after.
Why?
Not going to lie, there was a really good chance you weren't getting him. I was targeting him on my swing pick, possibly. But, yeah. Gardner Minshew. Love him. Love him, love him, love him.
It's a good pick. I can't hate it. I mean, that and Daniel Jones.
Yep. I feel like we were targeting a lot of the same guys at quarterback because we were the guys that went quarterback late in this draft. So I'm on deck here. I could go tight end. I could definitely go running back, but it's like who's worth taking here? I mean, Philip Lindsay. Then you're looking at the backups like Tony Pollard. Christian Kirk goes at the 9:08. When we had TJ Hernandez on, he really started to talk me into Christian Kirk a lot more than I had been. So shout out to Tej. I'm on the clock, though. I think I'm going to take my tight end as well, just because if I don't do it here, there could be a run soon.
You know you're going to get Hayden Hurst. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Yep.
Didn't have to announce it, so.
I know who you're going with. It's like, at this part of the draft, eventually you switch over to ADP gets thrown out the window, you look at your team build, and you go get your guys, man. Why not?
Absolutely. So Hayden Hurst, I have him as I think I moved up to tight end 7 last week. So yeah, by the way, there were some good values at tight end earlier. Like Andrews went in the middle of the 5th round, Ertz went in the middle of the 6th round. Like those guys, we talked a lot about how we tend to wait at tight end if we're not getting the big three or the big two, but getting those guys there is pretty solid. Obviously, they slide more. I probably should have taken Jared Goff. I was targeting him. So Goff goes to the 9-11. We'll see who closes up at the 9-12. But yeah, I probably should have taken Goff there. But there's a couple guys still left that are serviceable, but Yeah, it's not looking great for us right now.
I mean, I'm honestly fine with it at this point in the draft. I've kicked the quarterback can down the road so far that at this point, really, it was get a guy that I think that has top 10 upside, if not higher, with volume and pace. And that's what I was looking at with Joe Burrow. I would have taken him as early as the 8th round. I was really looking at hopefully the 9th round. But Ben, it's the same thing. I mean, you're really shooting for upside at this point. And past that, you're just really going to layer your roster with some streamer guys. I mean, guys that you're mixing matching your QB2 spot. And I want to throw this out here too, because if I walk out of this draft with only 2 quarterbacks, I'm totally fine with it. I'm not going to sit here and freak out about it, because over the last 3 years, we've seen on average 45 quarterbacks make 3 or more starts in a season. So this needs to be brought up here. Like, if you walk out of a draft and you only have 2 quarterbacks, even in 2 quarterback super flex formats, don't freak out. Don't hate it. Like, don't make a snap pick for like a crap quarterback in a trade. Like, just don't do it, man. Roll with your quarterbacks when your bye week comes up. Just, there was probably going to be a guy that represents like a guy that you could plug in or you could pick up off of waivers at some point in the season. Now, when that happens, I don't know, but as history has shown us over the last 3 years, it's going to happen.
Yeah, Tannehill goes right before me. I was going to take him if he's there. The problem with these quarterbacks that are left, they're all low-volume quarterbacks. Garoppolo, Darnold, Rivers, Cousins, Locke, Carr. So the fact that Tannehill went, he's a low-volume guy too, I'm just going to bypass quarterback again. And like you said, at this point of the draft, take your guys. I'm taking Mecole Hardman.
Hey, I like the upside. What is he, your wide receiver 5?
Yep.
So you're rocking him. Like, if you need him in your flex, I mean, you've got a great pairing of wide receivers there for upside with Marvin Jones and Mecole in your flex. I mean, considering – so take me through your entire team so far, Adam. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's really weird, but Cam Newton's my first quarterback. Don't have a second one yet. Dalvin Cook, Todd Gurley at running back. My receivers are Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay. Tight end is Hayden Hurst. My flex is Kareem Hunt. And my 2 bench receivers so far, my only guys on my bench are Marvin Jones and Mecole Hardman, who they're my favorite, like, later round receivers in fantasy. So to get them is pretty sick. And we'll see what happens with quarterback on the way back.
So at this point, looking at my team, I'm going to go ahead and just take Jimmy Garoppolo here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with taking him. I mean, pairing him with Big Ben, if this 49ers defense takes a step back, I think we can see more passing volume. Yes, I understand that there are injury concerns with, you know, everybody outside of Kittle, basically. I mean, you got Ayuk there, Deebo Samuel. We don't know what's going to happen with him. There's a plethora of other ancillary receivers. But Jimmy was super, super safe. I feel like he offers you some spike weeks interlaced in his production, as well as a really safe floor. Like, he's going to be a QB2 every single week for you.
Yeah, and, like, if I wanted to, honestly, it's really not sexy. But, like, in the next round, I could try pairing Tua and Fitzpatrick and just get that quarterback no matter what happens this year. Like, that wouldn't be the worst option. Teddy Bridgewater's still there. So, do I have the upside at quarterback of somebody that has, like Nick Torius has Brady and Stafford? You know, there's the Kyler and Burrow pairing. No, but, you know, I feel like Cam's going to give me a really good floor. We know there's potential upside. And whoever I get later on, you know, with the loaded receivers and solid other skill players I have, I still think I could get enough from my quarterback position to be fine.
So far my team, as it stands, I've got Big Ben, I've got Jimmy as my QB2. Running backs are Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, David Montgomery, Cam Akers. Wide receivers are Tyreek Hill, Juju, and Devontae Parker. So I do only have 3 wide receivers. So it's definitely something in these last 4 rounds we have coming up here I want to address. There's still a host, like a number of names that I really like on the board, like LaVisca Chenault is sitting out there. He's super late.
Jalen Reagor's looked really good in camp so far.
Yep, he's still hanging out there. You still have other guys like even DeSean Jackson super late.
Curtis Samuel.
There's a lot of other guys that I feel like you, if you're looking for your wide receiver four, I mean the names here, you've got so many guys you can kind of lean into here.
What do you think of Damian Harris goes to the 1101? What do you think of him this year? Because they bring in Lamar Miller, Sony Michel, it doesn't look like he has a good chance to start the season, injured. Could Damian Harris be this team's number one back?
He could be, man. I'm not gonna. And now, for fantasy wise, could he be the number one back? That's the biggest question. Or is it really, you're really looking at, is it not him? Is it James White that's gonna be the best fantasy producer? I think White's offering you the highest floor. The ceiling's there as well, but I'm not gonna hate on anybody taking Damian Harris. I've gotten some exposure in best balls. I think that there's a path there. I think it really comes down to what do you think about Lamar Miller, Adam?
I don't think I want anybody from this backfield to be to be relied on for my team unless it's James White as a flex. First of all, it's Belichick and it's running backs, so who knows? I would imagine Sony Michel is the guy when he's healthy, but we've seen him play limited snaps at times when him and Rex Burkhead were both healthy. It's just, I don't want to rely on the. And again, Damian Harris in the 11th round, you're not relying on him. I believe the person that took him, they have Jonathan Taylor McCaffrey, so there's a really strong chance they're never starting Damian Harris. But, if things break right and Michelle misses time and Harris is the. I mean, if he's the LeGarrette Blount role potentially in this offense, now it's totally different because Cam Newton is the Patriots quarterback. But yeah, 11th round, who cares?
So I'm going to go ahead and address my third QB spot. I'm going to take some upside
Oh,
here.
my
I'm
goodness.
going to go Bridgewater. I'm huge into their passing offense this
That
year. I think
hurts.
the pace is going to be there. Like I talked about, wide receiver is still in a plethora of guys that I can mix and match as wide receiver fours and fives. I was wondering if you're going to take Bridgewater. Are you eyeing him?
100% because he was the guy left that I think has legitimate passing volume with how bad that defense is. Sam Darnold goes, which tells me that Bridgewater probably wouldn't have been there anyway. I would imagine Reeves would have taken Bridgewater over Darnold. So I'm on the clock here. I mean,
You still have some safe guys there, man. I mean, like Kirk Cousins, you know he's not losing the
I
job.
am gonna take Cousins. I know I have Thielen. I don't want to invest too much in these. I have Dalvin Cook too, though, so I might not even do that actually. I have a weird team, man. I'm just gonna take Phillip Rivers. I think he'll be fine.
I agree.
I
I think he'll
don't.
be totally fine. He as a QB2, QB3. I mean, even as a QB2, I'm higher on their passing volume this year than probably consensus. Reich has showed us what he wants out of the passing offense. It's short passes, it's high percentage completions. And I've thrown this stat out time and time again. Besides last year with Brissett, every single stop, every single year, his team has been 14th or higher in passing attempts. He believes in Rivers, man. He's coached him before. They're going to throw the ball this year.
Yeah, looking at my team, this is why you mock draft, but I don't not like my team. I love the players I've drafted.
Rieger went.
Yeah,
Rieger
he
went.
did. I love the players I've drafted, but I have Dalvin Cook and Thielen, and I have Galladay and Jones. Now, Jones and Galladay probably won't be started together, but what do you? I get a lot of questions about that. You don't go into a draft unless you're in kind of like a best ball format or something, stacking offenses. But if it happens, I mean,
I'm fine with it.
Thielen and Dalvin Cook, yeah, they're on the same team in a low volume offense that's probably not going to be top 10 in scoring, but they're also the clear focal points of the offense. So I don't think it's the worst thing.
I would have been fine taking Cousins at your spot. Like, I'm not against it. I think that you're investing equity in an offense. If you think that the offense is going to be good, Kirk Cousins is not going to lose his job, so even at QB2, even in a redraft format, I would have been fine with it, honestly.
He did. Cousins did go at the 11-12. Now we're seeing some tight ends here starting the 12th round. Evan Ingram and Tyler Higbee start the 12th round off. Henry Ruggs goes right before me. Now I'm back on the clock. I could just solidify my quarterback three with somebody like Drew Lock, who has potential with all the weapons they have now in Denver. That's probably going to be the pick. Like, I'm looking at running back. I don't have a ton of depth at running back. It's the main reason why is because I get to these rounds, you know, after like round seven or so, and there's just not a lot of enticing players.
If you're going to go QB3, it's either now or never. Because looking at who's left on the board, you have Drew Lock, Haskins, Fitzpatrick, Foles, Tyrod. That's it for starters. And each one of those guys could go at then. Yeah. And you went with Lock.
I did take Drew Lock.
Yeah, I feel like it's either you go with quarterback or you say, I'm okay with a two quarterback build in this. That's really where it came down to.
Yeah, so Drew Lock's my quarterback three. There is some potential there. We know that. You know, if he doesn't get it done, at least in some capacity this year, it might not happen because Jerry Jeudy looks incredible in camp right now, and we know what kind of prospect he is. Sutton is incredible. KJ Hamler looks really good. Noah Fant is a ridiculously explosive receiving tight end. And Melvin Gordon's a great pass catching back. So if it doesn't happen this year, you know, I don't know if it will.
So at the 1208, I'm going to take my dude, man. I'm going to go with the upside play as my wide receiver four. I'm going Slayton.
Yep, that is, if you had a list of your 10 guys you're leaving a draft with, I feel like he's definitely on it. So 12-8, nothing wrong with that pick at all.
Oh, heck no, man. I mean, especially you're looking at where he went. It's not like I paid up to get him. I'm not leaning on him in my starting lineup. Considering the wide receivers, the equity I put into those, I feel like outside of injury, there's all safe floors there. So really it comes down to me these last few picks. I'm honestly probably not even looking at running back because with the draft equity that I invested in the position, yes, I only have four, but – with Kamara, David Johnson, David Montgomery, Cam Akers only having to start two weekly, I feel fine with the equity already put into the position. So right now, really for me, it's filling out the back end of my roster, probably just tapping wide receivers in the 13th and 14th round to close this out here. And that would give me overall, you know, like what, six wide receivers to play with. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson – at the 12-11, like
that's about where I seen him go. And I mean, considering volume.
No, I'm saying that's a solid pick. I was gonna look to him.
I like it. I like it.
I was gonna look for him. Start the 13th round, by the way.
You could shoe him in to what? I mean, what do you say, Adam? Like a median's probably about 180 carries this year, if not a little bit higher.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that team's a little bit better, you know, the difference is, you know, with Callahan last year taking over, they just ran the ball no matter what the game script was. And they'll probably open up the offense in a new offense this year for Dwayne Haskins. But, you know, he's the starting running back on an NFL team right now in the 12th round. Like I said, I was going to try to get him with my next pick. So I kind of like that pick. But yeah, starting the 13th round, Preston Williams, Rob Gronkowski. 13th round for Gronk's pretty solid. Who are you looking to target here with your second-to-last pick?
So the wide receivers I have currently like in the queue, and I'm kind of like debating. I've got Jerry Jeudy I'm kind of staring at, and there's a few other guys. I mean, really, it's all wide receivers here. It's do I go with Jeudy or do I go with my love list of Paris Campbell here?
Well, there's your answer.
That made it really easy for me. I'm just going to take Paris Campbell here.
Yeah, Jeudy goes right before you. So Carlos Hyde also not like the worst pick here because Rashad Penny's not healthy. Chris Carson's had issues staying healthy and holding on to the ball, which I don't really worry about the second part because they've just gone back to him every time. But yeah, I'm about to be on the clock here. Curtis Samuel, another pick I like at this point. I'm going to pick with the... my second-to-last pick in the 13th round, the guy that was hyped up for a long time, then it disappeared. There's still some potential, though. I'm going to take Keyshawn Vaughn. Not thrilled about it, but, I mean, I don't think LeSean McCoy is the running back two on this team. I think it's going to be Keyshawn Vaughn.
I'm divided on it, man. I'll be honest with you. Like, I see a path, because just writing up the Buccaneers preview... With what Arians has done in previous seasons, and I know we all know about 2015 with the Cardinals, but even you go back to his Steelers days, they spent a first-round pick that year on Rashad Mendenhall. And then he got shelved. He didn't even play until the next year when Willie Parker left. If you even go to, like, not even the David Johnson corollary, if you even go to one of his first seasons in Arizona, they brought in Mendenhall as a veteran. That dude was dust. Mm-hmm. And they had Andre Ellington there, who was outpacing him every single week. I think he was running for over 5 yards a carry, and they still rolled out Mendenhall. So as much as we all think that McCoy is dust, he still could be the starter here. I disagree with Twitter on that a little bit right now, and I do love Keyshawn Vaughn. Do not get me wrong. I liked him. I thought that he could be a really good serviceable back in the NFL. My closest comp to him was Marlon Mack.
14th round, last round, starting off with Boston Scott. I like that pick. I was actually looking to get him with my final
pick. Yeah, I like Deshaun Jackson there, too.
Yeah, shit, Jackson goes right before that to end the 13th round. So I'm probably going to just take a flyer on one of these late running backs with this last pick because I have my receivers are solidified. I don't need another quarterback. So I'm probably looking at – I might just swing for the fences and take A.J. Dillon if he's there. Maybe things break right for him. Other than that, I mean, Nyheim Hines could be decent. This is a PPR league, but there's just, you know, I don't see him being a guy that I can plug in and have as a running back too if things break right. They have to break really right for him. I guess the same can be said for A.J. Dillon, but, you know, this is why you want to solidify running backs early. I had a really weird draft. I don't hate my team. It's just interesting. We'll talk about it once we finish the draft off, but it's very interesting. So I am on the clock here looking at these running backs. I mean, you know, Joshua Kelly's kind of interesting. Nyheim Hines, A.J. Dillon. I'll take A.J. Dillon with my last pick of the draft, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so looking at mine, and especially considering starting lineup requirements for this mock, with us only having one flex position, the running backs that I currently have having four, I don't feel the need to necessarily take a running back here, although there are guys that I've talked about on Twitter, I've talked about on this podcast. Like, I can talk about Josh Kelly still out there, who I think has a standalone role this year. He's really the only running back left in this tier of guys that are left that I would even consider at this point. But, you know, so it really kind of comes down to wide receiver, because starting three, I've got five guys. I want to give myself some flexibility weekly with the wide receivers that are still on the board. I mean, Chenault's there. I like him. I like the upside that he can present. So is N'Keal Harry. I really could talk myself into either one of them. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Chenault here.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Josh Kelly goes right after, but yeah, we both really like LaVisca Chenault, and, you know, sad trombone, Josh Oliver, broken foot. So maybe that.
Oh man, I can't even talk about it. I mean, you tagged me on Twitter as soon as it happened. I wanted to just curl up in a ball, go to a corner and just cry.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, I mean, LaVisca Chenault, you know, I would be pretty surprised if he wasn't the number two pass catcher on this team behind DJ Chark. So this draft pretty much has come to an end. I don't know how to feel about my team. We both, and I think it's a good idea that on the podcast we both decided to really wait at quarterback, because it can kind of give you an idea of what your team can look like. And we kind of went the opposite way as a lot of the other drafters. So my team, two quarterbacks are Cam Newton and Philip Rivers, which, you know, if I didn't get Cam there, I would have been devastated with I'd hate my team right now. I was really happy to get Cam there. Pair him with Rivers, I'll get some sort of stability with Rivers. Dalvin Cook and Todd Gurley are my running backs. Receivers are awesome with Julio, Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay. Hayden Hurst is my tight end. Kareem Hunt is my flex. And my bench is Marvin Jones, Mecole Hardman, Drew Lock, Keyshawn Vaughn, and A.J. Dillon.
I like it. I mean, especially considering you backed up some running back upside. I mean, considering you're leaning on Gurley, you hope he stays healthy for your RB2 spot, but you gave yourself some upside outs late, especially with Kareem Hunt. He should, like everybody's talking about, walk into a standalone role in some capacity with the Browns this year. And you gave yourself upside shots last at the end of the draft with Vaughn and Dillon. I mean, I don't hate the team, man. I would say based off of how it went, I mean, I do agree with you. I think that maybe going with the second running back over Kenny Golladay would have been the only thing that would have changed. Yeah, but
I probably should have taken Melvin Gordon or David Montgomery or James Conner there. But, you know, I do love the fact that I was able to get Gurley and Kareem Hunt with the following two picks. You know, Gurley, the question marks are there. But if he's healthy, he's going to get 15 carries and all the goal line work in an offense that's going to be high scoring. So the biggest thing for Gurley is, will he be more involved in the passing game than he was last year? I tend to say yes, but, you know, I definitely don't like the reports about his health right now.
Yeah, and I lean to the other side. I've given my Gurley take a million times on here. But as far as my team build, again, like you're talking about, you didn't address quarterback to the seventh round. I waited to the eighth. Ben Roethlisberger and Jimmy G and Teddy Bridgewater as my three quarterbacks. I feel fine with that. Like I said, as long as Ben's arm is attached to his body, I think that he's going to – they're going to be top 10 in passing attempts this year, so I like the upside there. As well as there's two safe floor picks as far as the other two quarterbacks that I got. So I'm perfectly happy with the quarterbacks and walking out of any super flex or 2QB league with this trio of quarterbacks. As far as the running backs, I've got Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, David Montgomery, Cam Akers. Really, I wasn't expecting to invest that much equity that early into running back. But really, just considering how the board fell, the wide receivers that I felt like I could get there late, I was totally fine with it. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts as far as the running back picks and what I did at wide receiver?
I mean, you really, really took advantage of the depth of receiver, and it really worked for you. You know, I'm not against David Johnson, but I'm not as high on him as you are. But you know, you took him in the middle of the third. But then to get Dave Montgomery after that, I loved. And then yeah, I mean, we talked about how some of these players and their ADPs on sleeper right now, they're just way down. You couldn't even see them. Juju was one of those guys, so that was a slam dunk pick. Devontae Parker as your wide receiver three. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and then Kamara's obviously your staple. So I like your team a lot. I loved the Big Ben and Bridgewater. I hated the Bridgewater pick because I wanted him. But, yeah, I think what you'll tend to see is, I mean, we're going to continue to take the guys that we love in those later rounds. I probably should have passed on Marvin Jones and taken, you know, a Joe Burrow or somebody. But at the same time, you know, I just – and that, if you want a guy, like, especially at that point, like, I probably wasn't getting Marvin Jones on the way back. But, yeah, and another thing that we had with this draft when we waited at quarterback is it shows that quarterback is still as deep as ever, especially when you add Cam Newton to the Patriots. It's just another quarterback that was added to the pool at the position. But I'll tell you right now, if I wasn't able to get Cam at the 709, I would really be upset with my team.
Yeah, same. If I couldn't have got Big Ben, I mean, I was really targeting Burrow between like rounds eight and nine probably. And just to kind of bookend the rest of my team, I was totally fine. Like I was talking about, I waited on wide receiver, taking Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell, and LaVisca and having six guys weekly. Like, if I look at Tyreek and Juju are not coming out of my starting lineup, Parker is probably not as well. But say one of those guys gets injured, I do feel comfortable with having those three wide receivers to mix and match matchup plays weekly as my wide receiver three for the season. So I feel pretty good about my team. Any other teams in this mock that kind of stand out to you, Adam?
I really liked the first overall pick, Nictorious FF. You know, Jonathan Taylor at the 301 was a little interesting, but like you look at the picks, I mean McCaffrey, Travis Kelce, Taylor, Odell, Calvin Ridley. Like he didn't go receiver with any of their first three picks, and then followed it with Odell and Ridley in the fourth and fifth, which is great. Brady and Stafford were two guys I was heavily targeting, so he solidified the quarterback spot, and then Breida.
The Breida one I feel like is where his draft went sideways for him. I'm really kind of going with the quarterbacks. I mean, I know you like this team. I don't want to, like, just totally poo-poo it, but, like, I feel like he slammed the first five rounds, and then, of, like, round six, I wasn't a huge fan of what he did after that because
I probably wouldn't have went back to back quarterbacks. Yeah, but one of them would have been fine. But back to back,
but I mean,
I think it was.
Look at his wide receiver three position. I mean, he's got Odell and he's got Ridley,
but
after that, wide receiver three, he's looking at Anthony Miller, Preston Williams, and Dede as his wide receiver three. That's kind of where it goes off the board, because if you were looking at who's still on the board around six and seven at the turn right there.
And who's the flex going to be? Breida?
Yep, exactly. I mean, I feel like through the first five rounds of his draft, absolutely slamming picks. And then I don't know if like some of the quarterback worries kind of like set in a little bit, but after round five, I kind of felt like the draft was like, eh.
Yeah, I also really liked Embrock 03's team. We talked about that in the start, but Russell Wilson, Dwayne Haskins, so waited a little bit for their second quarterback, which, you know, isn't incredible. They also don't have a backup quarterback, I don't believe. But the rest of the team is really, really sound. I mean, Zeke, Kenyon Drake, Robert Woods, DJ Shark, Keenan Allen, Zach Ertz, Tyler Boyd, Marlon Mack, CeeDee Lamb, Lindsey, Noah Fant. Definitely don't hate that team. Looking elsewhere,
I will say with that team, in a two quarterback league, if you're only taking two quarterbacks, I would not be happy if I'm walking out of a draft with Dwayne Haskins as my quarterback two and only having two guys.
Yeah, for sure. Any other teams stand out? I'm trying to look through them all.
So the guy that was drafting, or the person that was drafting at the 110, I really like what they did. MIGC4098. They went Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, first two picks, and they went DJ Moore, Wentz, McLaurin. Really just a solid team. I know we kind of talked about the Antonio Gibson pick at 7-10. I'm not a huge fan of that. I get the upside swing there, but the rest of the build, I mean, I really like this team. I mean, running backs, like I talked about, they got CEH, Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary, Antonio Gibson, went even Sony Michel, which I get all the risk. I understand it, but at the 13th round.
Right, second to last round.
That's a good pick. And as well as, like, looking at the wide receivers, DJ Moore, McLaurin, went Edelman as a wide receiver three, which is great. Shot for upside late with Deontay Johnson, Rager, Ruggs. Didn't address tight end until late, which, I mean, you can kick the can. That's fine. At that point in the draft, I don't like Chris Herndon, but at the 14th round, I'm not going to sit here and split hairs with you. I really, really like that team a whole lot.
Yeah, another team where, like, those first six rounds were awesome, awesome. I really liked it. But, yeah, this was a really fun draft for me because it was one of those drafts where coming in, you know a lot of the players you want to target. You don't know exactly when, depending on how the draft. But this is a draft where I didn't know who I was taking at all each pick, really, because you didn't know which quarterbacks, when there was going to be a quarterback run or a running back run or a receiver or tight end run. So, yeah, thanks for everybody for joining, per usual. They're really fun. And like I said, you know, this is why you do mock drafts. You can see how different formats and different league settings and different drafts pan out if you go one way or the other.
Yeah, this was a ton of fun. I want to thank everybody on Twitter for hopping into this mock. Again, if you slide in or tag yourself on the Twitter handle when we post the episode, at ChalkFade, we'll give you a shout-out. So Adam and I are going to be back two more episodes this week. We actually have the master of the drum beat himself coming on tomorrow. Sigmund Bloom is going to stop by the studio and talk shop with us. But get subscribed to the pod. For Fade the Chalk, we're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.